Let us pray. Holy God, may the words of my mouth, may the meditations of all of our thoughts be acceptable in your sight. For you are our strength. You are the one who saves us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. One of the things parents struggle with when a child is born is, what do you name the child? Now, in many cases, for families, it's easy. We continue family names. In the Peters family, there is a John and Mary in every generation. For other parents, they want something different. And that's when we get those really different sounding names that we hear so often. And we wonder, where did that come from? And then, of course, we try to be different, and then we end up not being different. I remember when Allison was born, we named her Allison. And I called my mother and said, we had a daughter, her name is Allison. And she goes, wonderful, that was my father's name. And I go, what? I always knew him as Fentress. Allison Fentress. He went by his middle name. Spelled differently, but still. So sometimes you try to get away from those family names and you just can't. Other times, people want biblical names. Perhaps they see it as a way to profess their faith. However, some of these biblical names can be interesting as a choice of a name for a child. On its October 16th show, ABC's Good Morning America did a segment on names. And the following comes from that show. If you count yourself among those Americans who believe there is only one true Messiah, you may want to speak with the parents of 811 children who were given that increasingly popular name last year. According to the Social Security data, that name rose 246 spots on its 2012 list of the 1,000 most popular names in the United States. The spike is a reflection of a narcissistic naming trend, said Dr. Jean Twenge, a psychologist who studied the numbers for her book, Narcissism Epidemic. Naming your child Messiah. That gives new meaning to the idea of positive reinforcement for our children. As I mentioned over the past several weeks, this is the final Sunday of the church year. The church year is a year-long celebration of the divine drama. And it begins again next week with the beginning of the season of Advent, which looks ahead to the return of Christ. And today, as I've said, is the reign of Christ, or Christ the King, which looks back and asks us to consider who this Jesus of Nazareth really is. Now, if we look at Colossians, Paul gives a number of symbolic descriptions of who Christ is. We hear image of the invisible God, firstborn of all creation, the one from whom all things were created, the one who holds all things together, the head of the church, the beginning and the end, the firstborn of the dead. All of these could have a sermon in themselves. And they are hard for us to wrap our minds around because they're likely to be understood only by a few people who have specialized knowledge or interest. But let's go back a few centuries before Paul, to Jeremiah. Jeremiah has a wonderful way of talking about the person of Jesus, though Jeremiah was not talking about Jesus. the good shepherd. Now we know that the Gospel of John understands Jesus in this way, because in the Gospel of John there's a number of statements by Jesus, what we call the I am statements. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the vine. I am the good shepherd. The one that we call Lord is the one who is the good shepherd. Now, we all know sheep are not very smart. They cannot discern good from evil. They just go about their way merrily bleating and eating. And my collar is coming off, so they're really not mindful of where they are. And is it any wonder that humanity is often spoken of as sheep in the Bible? When it comes to important things, we can be very much like sheep. Jeremiah, however, makes a distinction between good and bad shepherds. There are those who scatter and destroy God's sheep, and there are those who gather the sheep to safety and nurture them. In Jeremiah's time, the kings have not been very nurturing, and they've been stripped of their sheep by being hauled off into exile. Jeremiah's prophecy in verse 5 looks forward to a new shepherd, a new Davidic dynasty that will govern as a good king, a good shepherd. Now, it's quite possible that Jesus or the writers of Luke and John's gospel are tying Jesus to Jeremiah's use of the good shepherd imagery. And I think it behooves us to reflect on this. Because I don't care what side of the aisle you're on. We are living in a day and age when we have leaders, a government that is not working. Leaders who are not good shepherds. We live in a day and age when we have churches that proclaim their beliefs, their ways to be right, while simultaneously casting aspersions on all others. And in this kind of time, Jeremiah gives us a path to discernment between good and bad, so that we can be aligned with what is good. A famous actor once was a guest of honor at a social gathering, where he received many requests to recite favorite excerpts from various literary works. An old elder who happened to be there asked the actor to recite the 23rd Psalm. The actor agreed on one condition. He said, "I'll say it if you say it." And he did. And the actor's recitation was beautifully in tone with great dramatic emphasis. And after he was done, he received lengthy applause. Then the elder said it. His voice was rough, broken. His diction was anything but polished. But when he finished, there was not a dry eye in the room. And someone asked the actor later, "What made the difference?" The actor replied, "I know the psalm, but he knows the shepherd." Sometimes it's easy to discern the real or the truth from the fake. Sometimes it's not. Last week we heard Jesus caution his followers from following false prophets and false messiahs. He said, "There are going to be those who come after me to say they are me. Don't follow them. Just because they have the name doesn't make them so. Just because they give themselves the name, or their parents do, doesn't make them so." It's interesting to note in our gospel passage The first criminal was following the religious authorities. The religious authorities who were not good shepherds. Because they taunted Jesus and asked for a sign. And the criminal said, "Hey, if you're the Messiah, save yourself and us." The first criminal was asking Jesus for a sign if he was the Messiah. And this is the last that we hear of him. I thought I wasn't going to do it anymore. This one's not going on the radio, on the website. Okay, is there anything else? No, I'm okay. Oh, well. You all love me, right? Yeah. Okay.
It's a good thing.
Yes, it is. The first one taunted Jesus. The second one, though, said, "Wait a minute. You got it all wrong. This guy did nothing wrong, and we did." And he said, "Jesus, remember me in paradise." And Jesus said, "Today, you will be with me in paradise." Even on the cross, Jesus was the good shepherd calling his flock to him, nurturing them, taking away their fear. And just a few verses before that, we heard his nurturing his sheep by saying, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." You've heard me say it before. To me, that is the most powerful passage in the Gospels of Jesus Christ. The Good Shepherd, even when the chips are down, gives life, gives freedom from fear, gives hope. The good leaders are the ones who follow the Good Shepherd by giving life and giving hope. The good leaders are the ones who nurture people and do not scatter them, who do not separate them, who do not classify them, who do not destroy them. And that's not true just for the leaders, but for the followers as well. Because you see, the idea of the Good Shepherd says a lot about how we should live our lives for others. Faith is not just a personal meditative thing. That kind of faith serves no one but the person doing the meditating. A good shepherd does not become a good shepherd by being with his sheep and then sitting there thinking about what a good shepherd is or what constitutes good sheep. The disciple of a good shepherd does do that meditating work of discerning what is right for people, but they also do the actual work, caring for the sheep. Jesus was often in the hills for quiet time with God, but then he was in the thick of life as well, standing between the adulterer and the rock-throwing judge wannabes, or sitting and eating and talking with tax collectors and other bad people. Bad in the eyes of the religious authorities. And good shepherds are not always loved and accepted because, as we know, there are a lot of bad shepherds in the world as well. But we are reminded that if we can follow a good shepherd and be a good shepherd, then we will meet the good shepherd. Today you will be with me in paradise. Perhaps then the question today shouldn't be, what do you think of this man Jesus? But the question for us is this the shepherd I want to follow? Is this the good shepherd that I want to follow? Is this the good shepherd that I want to be like? It's a big commitment. A big commitment. As you all well know. But you know, it's got some wonderful perks as well. We don't need the name Messiah. Nor should we want it. Because, really, there's only one of those. That name has been claimed. But we should recognize who that one is and say, that's the one I will follow. Will we? Can we?